Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. You guys can go ahead and take a seat. It's so good to have you guys here. You know, I'm gone one Sunday and church was canceled, and so I can't believe we had, how many inches of snow did we have last week? 6 inches, 5 inches, 6 inches? And so, man, crazy. Can't believe it. But I'm glad you guys are safe, and I'm glad you guys are able to come back and be with us this morning. So over the last week, two Tuesdays ago, this was on the 13th, whatever, Tuesday, after work, I conned Paul into going with me to Minnesota, and we left Tuesday after work around 5:30. We drove straight through the night, about 10 hours, and as we progressed closer to Minnesota, the temperature got colder and colder and colder, and by the time we got there, it was zero, and I think it was in the negatives the whole time we were there. But we spent the last 10 days at my parents' house. My mom and my dad are here. Can we give them a... Yay! And so we spent the last 10, 11 days renovating a bathroom, and we put in like 10-hour days. It was crazy. And so it was not much of a vacation, so we ended up driving back yesterday and got back last night around 8, and but it was cool. It was rewarding. It was fun. And so we're back today, and, you know, a while ago, I kind of had this feeling that I would really like my mom to share a little bit of her testimony. And for some of you guys who haven't been with us for a while, it's actually quite the story. And so that's what we're going to do today. So today is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to kind of interview her and to ask her some questions, and she's going to give us some answers. She's wrote down a bunch of notes, and so we're going to do a little. Is that okay with you guys today if we do things a little bit different? And so so my mom's going to come on up and share. And so, Mom, if you want to come up here real quick, I'm going to give you a glass of water. This is my first time interviewing someone like this, too, so bear with me. I'm no Jimmy Fallon or whatever. So, let me give you a little bit of my story first. So, I don't know if you, I think most of you guys know, I grew up in Minnesota. I was one of six kids. My parents had six kids. God bless them. They've been married for, is it going to be 50 years this year, Dad? 49 years this year. And so pretty awesome. I have five sisters, and I mean this honestly, each one is crazier than the last. And so my youngest sister, Karina, hopefully she's not listening right now, is purely insane. And so, grew up out in the country. Paul got to experience the old farmhouse this week. Grew up out in the country, had a good time. We were homeschooled and really close to both my parents. My dad was a programmer at the Mayo Clinic for 32 years, so let's give him a hand for that. And he worked diligently and hard, and he went to work every day. And I remember my mom, when I was younger, offered me a quarter a shirt if I ironed his dress shirts. And she tried to con me into, I don't know if you remember this, Mom, she tried to con me into ironing a bunch of his dress shirts when I was just a young kid. I don't think I did any, by the way. But she was trying to con me into, and so, but my dad worked really hard his whole life, and my mom homeschooled us kids, and they raised us up in a Christian home, and I've been in church my whole life. I think there's probably a pew somewhere with my teeth marks in it. Grew up Assemblies of God my whole life, praise the Lord, and so they really gave me a good foundation, gave all of my sisters a really good foundation. I know my dad sacrificed a lot, working lots of hours, and my mom sacrificed a lot too, raising. And I remember my mom, there were kids in our neighborhood who needed a ride to church, and my mom would go out of her way. She had a house, a car full of, we had a 15 passenger van that you drove around, and we would pick up kids and bring them to church on Wednesdays. And so she really has a heart for the Lord. And so, but anyways, it isn't about me. It's about I wanted to talk a little bit with my mom about her story. And so, first of all, Mother, would you just give us a little bit of your story, like your testimony? Who are you? Where you came from?
Well, I was, I really, my testimony really has a lot to do with, like, the Jewish Revolution movie, the movie Combat. That is still over on the college campuses. So that's how I got saved. I was at Mankato State University, and all these young people that come to the Lord, a lot of them only like real Christians. And they would go around and ask you questions and give their testimonies. And I had two girls on my floor that really started witnessing to me. I remember them knocking on my door and asking what religion I was, and I thought I was a Buddhist. I thought that would kind of keep them away, but that didn't really seem to shine up too much. And I said, well, what is Buddhist different than Jesus? And they said, well, the offers of divine nature and clearly seen, being understood from wisdom made to the people without excuse. And that was exactly it. I thought there is a greater God. There has to be a greater God. And Pastor Rocky Graham's discipled me. And people would say, well, you can't build a church on college students. And he said, I only have 4 years to reach them. And I think that is such a cool, that is so huge. He saw people not to build his church necessarily in Menominee, but to build the church of Jesus Christ. You know, and one of those young people is a missionary to Africa. I think all of them that went under his leadership are also in the Lord today that I know of.
Yeah, and Rocky Grams is actually a missionary down in Argentina right now, I believe.
Just retired. His son is taking over that spot. His youngest son is doing that. That's
okay. Now, do you want to tell us a little bit how you and Mr. Wonderful met?
He was at church. You'd be happy to know that. That's a good place. And I was singing. In those days, they would take anybody to sing, and it was kind of interesting. And people kind of follow along.
Notes for the single men out there.
So we got married, and I remember it was interesting. We have 14 grandchildren, and I was able to get another daughter, who, you know, Evan, and then I had the other girls got married. I got four other sons to them, and 14 grandkids. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful to have those grandbabies, and all from the Lord.
Yep.
And so that's been really wonderful to have those grandbabies.
Yeah. Next weekend, she's actually my sister Karina. She has six kids, and the oldest is, how old is Jakin?
He's 13.
13. The youngest is, I forget. Yeah, so they're kind of all over the place. So, so obviously, Hadassah, so very cool. Well, do you want us to take us back a little bit to about 18 months ago or so? What happened?
Well, that was interesting because I was here.
She was, yep. Well, to back up for a second, I was going to work or something in the morning,
Yes. And
my mom was writhing on the floor in a lot of pain, and I was like, what's going on? And she's like, I don't know, but I feel like, you told me, I feel like I'm dying. You did, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And so, Aaron ended up taking you kind of against your will. She took you to the urgent care, right?
ER.
The ER, okay, continue, yeah. Elvis is our dog.
And Ben was looking at him and he walked away and he let me hold that dog and I'll never forget that he was able to give that a thank you. He was able to give up his time with his dog for me that really ministered to me. You know, you always think that little things matter. Yes, little things matter. And I remember Casey, thank you. He did that song, Waiting for the Lord. That's the song. I remember that song ministered to me so much. And remember he said to me, we're here for you.
Yeah, so she was in some pain. She went to the ER. They did a scan. They said there was a bunch of lesions on your liver, correct? And so she ended up going home to the Mayo Clinic, and they're like, hey, this isn't a big deal. We can wait a couple months to do something. And she kind of pressed and said, you know, I was in Michigan, and when I was in Michigan, they recommended that I do something quickly. And so she pushed, and they ended up doing another scan. And then we had a kind of like a, it was like a, I think Karina and Angela and I don't know who all was in the room, but they came in and they told you, essentially they gave you the verdict that that my mom has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so you started going through treatments. Yep, they said it was terminal.
man of evil, Lord, listen, you're Rod and his staff that come from him. You know, Rod and his staff are used to direct, not like anything else. It's the kind of direction through this, the time period that you're going from left to death to life, to life. It's really hard to know. It's just changing location. So he ran to that, I'm a guy, I'm just changing location.
Mm-hmm.
And with that,
well, yeah, so they gave you the diagnosis, and I remember we came up and visited you. The whole family was there for Thanksgiving because we wanted to just be there with you. And there was actually a church in town let us use their facility for free, just a huge blessing, a Methodist church in town. We were able to be there so that my mom didn't have to cook or anything. And she actually walked a 5K. She did a turkey trot that Thanksgiving about, I don't know how many months ago. So that was Thanksgiving 2023. And then my mom started treatment. And I think your first treatment was actually right before Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. And they gave her a couple different treatments. And I could get this wrong, but one of them was a trial drug that they wanted to use on her. And it's interesting because when we were talking to the doctors, the doctor said, you know, we as doctors, we look at the medicine as a hammer, and we look at the disease as a nail. So he's like, we're gonna pound it, and you gotta tell us if it's too much or if it's, and so. But my mom's like, I want to do anything that I can in order to, like, you know, have a good chance. And so she started with this trial drug, and the trial drug ended up causing some severe issues. Back in the first part of December 2023, my sister called me and she said, you know, I was with mom last night, and she said, I looked into her eyes, and she's like, it was like no one was there, and I saw death. That's what she told me. And she's like, you need to come home right away because I'm not sure if mom's going to make it through the weekend. And so that's last year when I left for a month. I bought a one-way ticket to Minnesota, and I flew in. My sister Abigail met me in, but I really thought I was coming back to, like, I thought it was the end. I flew in to the Twin Cities. My sister Abigail picked me up, and they drove me straight to the hospital room. And so I walked in, and I remember walking in, and a couple of my sisters were there, and some close family friends were there, and it really felt like I was walking into, it's like a thick, I don't know if you've ever been in that type of experience, like a thick presence of, like, and saw my mom and prayed with her. And do you want to tell us a little bit about that hospital experience?
And
She did. Yeah, we have a, I took a picture of her. So I went there, and it, again, it was, I wasn't entirely sure what to expect. And she just slowly started getting better. And so by the end of, I think she got out, by the end of the week, she was like, I want to go work out at Anytime Fitness. And I'm like, what? And so I have a, I should have brought it. I have a picture of her working out on the treadmill at Anytime Fitness. And she started to recover, and they found out that it was, part, you know, remember one thing my mom told me, she's like, I knew I had to fight the cancer, but I didn't know I'd have to try, I'd have to fight the chemo. You know, the chemo was really bad. And so they found out that the trial drug had caused a lot of the issues that she had been going through. And so they ended up taking her off the trial drug, but what they found was that the tumor was still growing. And it's interesting. I did a little bit of research after my mom got the cancer, and essentially what happens is it starts with the pancreas and then spreads to other organs. And most prolifically, it transfers to the liver, and it overtakes the liver and eventually shuts the liver off. And once the liver is shut off, it's like, you're shut off. It's over. And so so she was feeling better, but the tumor, she had a tumor that was aggressively growing on her liver, and the treatments weren't working. So this was happening in the spring. And so I'm just going to share a little bit, Mom. And so my sister, Angela, did a little bit of research, and she found out that there was this guy in Hollywood, Florida, who was doing cutting-edge, it was called nanoknife surgery, where they stick probes into the tumor and inject it with, like, cement, like medical cement, to kill the tumors. And so my sister Angela was like, hey, I think maybe we should take a go at this. It was kind of like a last-minute resort. Like, none of the chemo was working. Nothing was, like, the tumors were growing. And so my mom and my sister, back in March, was it? Yeah, so about a year ago, took a trek to Hollywood, Florida, and I flew down to be with them, and my mom went in for surgery, and we stayed at an Airbnb and in Hollywood, Florida, and I went down to be with them, and we spent a couple of days, and the day before the surgery, she says, she's like, I need to get my walk in, so she was walking in the backyard, she was trying to get a mile of distance in the backyard, and she also had bought herself some key lime pie, which she indulged herself in the night before. And so we go in, and so again, she was diagnosed in October. The tumor was growing rapidly. There was a small window, because they're like, once it gets too big, there's nothing we can do. So we go there. We're staying at the Airbnb. She's eating key lime pie. And do you want to just tell me a little bit what's going through your head? Dr. Donaway in Hollywood, yeah, yep.
And so he thought outside the box. He thought outside the box. It's not the normal way to deal with cancer. So he had to spend her own money for this. And my mom had given me money as an inheritance that I decided to be part of that. And so when I was in there after the surgery, he said, you got to go and fix it. You don't have the surgery. You're not going to treat me for it. You have to.
Well, a bunch of specialists had looked at her, had looked at the biopsy initially and had determined that it was the other type of cancer.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of suspicious, miraculous, perhaps, as my dad says, which I tend to agree that, man, you know, the guy does the other biopsy and he's like, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if cancer can change halfway through, but it's strange that at the Mayo Clinic they had all the specialists look at it. You know, and then afterwards, you know, the Lord has, you know, really, you shouldn't be here today. You know what I mean? So I shouldn't be here today. And so God, man, God is faithful, you know, and God is true, and God is our healer. And what has God taught you through the process, Mom? Anything specifically? One of the things that I thought was insightful is when I was there in December, my mom was she was paying for family camp in August. Was it family camp in August or July? And I'm like, what are you doing? And then I realized what you were doing is you were planting joy for yourself in the future, you know? And I was like, wow, that's kind of wild to think, you know, you didn't know if you were going to be around in later in the summer, and yet you were giving yourself an opportunity to be excited about something, to be joyful about something, and so that was a big takeaway for me. Is there anything else that you learned along the way, Mom? She took some notes for us.
died, I wanted to die in a way that would honor God and would show people, would leave a path for them. Because I had a really good friend that actually knows Sandra died, so I begged with her on Saturday or Sunday when I was having trouble. She went up with her. I considered myself pretty mistaken in those days. And she was diagnosed with stage 4 uterine cancer like 2 days later. And she never lost a baby. She lived. And they apologize to me for things, and I said, you all were great. Don't worry about anything in the past. You're wonderful sisters. And so that's been really good. That's been really, really good.
So God has given you joy. He has, he's broken some, or he's mended some broken relationships.
Yeah.
He's dealt with some deeper things rather than cancer. In your life, like he's kind of used that to open up your heart to other things. Anything else that God's taught you along the journey?
And it really helps me once you're dealing with some of this cancer. You think, to not just assume that all they want to talk about, that's all they want to pray about. You know, one thing really fun about kids is they don't do that. They just come and start talking about their life, and that's just so cool that they're like that. And I think that's really important. You know, let them minister to you because that's important to be part of life. You know, to not, because so sick of hearing about cancer, you don't want to hear about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about something else. It's really good. Focus in on something else. It was weird when my son-in-law gave me a new Bible and I thought I may not finish this. That was weird, but I did finish it, thank God. I'm in the one now. So those are all, let me think if there's anything else here.
Well, it's interesting how I feel like, in a weird way, you know, just watching you and Dad go through it was obviously very difficult, but also it's like it's strengthening in the faith. I know that sounds kind of weird, but also it was a time where God drew me closer to Him as well. You know, it's weird. I remember going back to October or whenever it was when we were listening in on the conversation and they were telling you you have stage 4 cancer and you're like, well, how long do I need to do the treatment? And they're like, forever, and or until you can't handle it anymore. And, you know, hearing the sisters crying in the room and stuff, I'm like, oh my goodness. But I remember driving, I had to do like an interview or something at work that day. I was going to take the day off because I was kind of messed up in the head. And I remember driving to work and every worship song was for me, you know, like every stanza, every line, God was just like pulling me into His presence. And I think, you know, sometimes it's like God uses difficult situations like that to draw us closer to Him and to pull us closer to Him. And, you know, to think about everything that you went through, from the diagnosis to thinking that you were going to die to the doctors telling you all these things. It's like, it's incredibly terrifying, but it's also a time where God is just like pulling you closer into his presence. And I know you've told me this, like you see things differently and you experience things differently and you look at things differently and you see time as precious and you see time as like, you know, give me a heart of wisdom, or give me a, teach me to count my days that I may have a heart of wisdom. It's like without going through something like that, like now when I see someone who's going through cancer or through a difficult disease, suddenly I'm like with them. I'm like, oh my goodness, because I've seen what my, you know, I remember going into chemo and my mom was having PTSD. She's like thinking about, they'd stopped giving the trial drug, but they were just giving her just the regular chemo. And she's like in the room, like, you know, upset. And so I relieved myself for a minute and I walked down the hospital room. And it was crazy because cancer is no respecter of persons. You go down there and there's people of every age and walk. There's kids and old people and all sorts of stuff. And I remember I showed my mom a video of, Rabia isn't here today, but he had sang a song. And I showed it to her to kind of calm her a little bit. And it was crazy. I was thinking, man, you know, sometimes we use our gifts. Sometimes, like here's, you know, Rabia singing a song, whatever. But he was able to minister to my mom through his gift, not even knowing it. And so I'm thinking, you know, the things that we do, we might not think we're having an effect on people, but the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we treat people, the way that we, you know, it has an impact on those around us. And so, I know we're running short on time, but... I appreciate. Anything else you want to share, Mom? Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, God has, you know, the good news is she's gone from terminal to chronic, and we're really believing that that was the touch of the Lord. And he's given, I think, all of us like a new outlook and a perspective on, you know, life and how precious it is and how, you know, things can change in just a minute. And you just really don't know, like, you think that you have until you're 100 years old or 90 years old or whatever. But our days are orchestrated by the Lord, and he can come and he can take and he can move any time that he wants. And he's the only one that knows the end of our story. The doctors don't, our friends don't. Like, he's the one who has written our story. He knows the beginning and the end. And so I think just having trust in him through the process is really what I've learned, that God has really ministered to me. And so, I think, Mom, thank you so much for sharing. Can we give her a hand this morning? Yeah. Does anyone have any questions for my mom? How do you survive five girls?
Oh, you know, you were telling me about that. You're right.
Well, mom had some. And my mom has had a couple of my sisters have strayed, and there is much power in a praying parent, you know, and they've come back around and they're serving the Lord right now. And so I think my mom can testify too that, like, all those prayers that you felt maybe were in vain were not, you know, and they're both serving the Lord. You know, all of them are serving the Lord. All of her kids are serving the Lord now, which is a great testimony. So. Any other questions?
The burdens I carry?
Mm-hmm. Over your prodigals, over the girls.
Oh. The big one was that I just prayed about the testimony about what they have. And both of them were girls here.
Any other questions? Good.
I could write a poem.
Yeah, I think it's been cool to see again how, you know, I think the power of praying parents. My mom and my dad both have, you know, even though a couple of my sisters have strayed, they've come back, and how God has been present through everything. And so, I think that's probably the big takeaway too. That even in the hospital room, or, you know, sometimes you feel like, man, I'm in this dark spot. Like, God is there, and He's there to comfort us and to bring us peace and to strengthen us in our times of trouble. So. Thank you so much for coming and sharing, Mom. I really appreciate it. I'm just going to pray over the church real quick. God, we thank you so much for everyone who's here today, Father. I pray for, maybe there's someone out there who's listening, or maybe there's someone out here online or in person who, man, they've been diagnosed with something. Maybe there's someone who has a cancer diagnosis, or maybe there's someone who's going through a dark time in their life. And God, I just pray that they'll remember that you are their ever-present help in times of trouble, and that you can lead them, and that you can sustain them, and that you can give them peace and joy in the difficult times, God. And I pray that they will lean into you. I pray that we will lean into you, God. I pray that you will just minister to us, God. I thank you for my mom's testimony. I thank you that you aren't done with her yet. I thank you for the things that you've been teaching her and the things that you will just continue to teach her as she continues along this journey and as she continues with her treatment. I know she has another one in a couple months, God. I just pray that it'll go well and that the cancer will continue to shrink and dissipate, God. We thank you for the praise report that the tumors are shrinking and that the treatments are working. And God, I just thank you for her testimony. Thank you that she was able to share this morning. And I just pray that I was able to reach some hearts and reach some minds, God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.